Hey, Tom.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, Connor. How are you?
I'm not bad. You ready to talk about league?
Yeah, you know why? Because there's a very special thing that happened
What?
that I get to rub in.
Okay, shut up. Roll the music.
Have no need to fight tonight, tonight.
Okay, so hey everyone, welcome to LTAL episode 2. We didn't mess up episode 1 enough to not make a second episode, so we're back.
Just a little late.
Just a little late, but it's okay. It's all Tom's fault.
I am so upset with you currently. Week one, everything's planned, ready to go, ready to start 10 minutes early because the last game was a blowout. I text Connor, let me know when you're ready, and message you on Discord. And then I get a text like, you're okay if I go run some errands, right? Oh, yeah, Sunday night, 9 o'clock, I gotta work at 6 a.m. God.
Tom's an old man, and he goes to sleep at like noon. Even though, anyway. So yeah, that's we did some things, and we're gonna do some things again this week,
And we're
and
gonna talk
hopefully,
about things
yeah. Okay,
and stuff.
so we're gonna do results from last week.
Spoilers sucked.
And then we've got some talking points, and then we're gonna do some week two predictions. Hopefully Tom does better this time.
Thank God.
So yeah, Tom, you want to start with the results?
Yeah, I would love to start, especially with the first game, my most sought after,
Your only
TL
win.
versus TSM. How's your TSM number one in the power rankings
Oh my
feeling?
God, I'm not ready to drop them yet, but
What?
I'm
Sorry, I'm not supposed to yell.
a 100 Thieves fan now.
Yeah.
I tweet.
So first game, TL versus TSM. TL fucking rolled the
God, just
TSM.
fucking dicked him. Just, it wasn't even a close game.
I didn't expect the extreme blow up of the whole Bjergsen thing, but I totally said on our last podcast that he's just gonna sit mid and farm and then
Yeah.
blame his team.
Okay, so like
And Reddit blew up on this.
they did, and I see kind of where Reddit is coming from the standpoint of like what we, I mean, I guess what Reddit and what everyone expects from Bjergsen. And to a degree, I agree with them. I think, I guess where our opinions differ, right, is not necessarily that I think Bjergsen is playing poorly. I don't think he's playing the best he's ever played or as good as he can play. But I think Bjergsen has just kind of grown this weird team mentality, in TSM, and I think. I don't know. Part of me thinks that it's time for TSM to look for a new mid laner just from the, like, from the team atmosphere standpoint and like what Bjergsen is bringing to TSM.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just that, one of the things about him playing well, he didn't die all weekend. Like, he didn't die on
At
either game
all, yeah.
at all. And it's not that he played poorly. There was a lot of times where his team was just losing the fight badly. And he's like, yeah, that's a nope. I'm just
Well,
gonna
and is
nope
he?
right over
He's at
here.
like a. The 22% win rate on Ryze at this point, or something. Like,
It's
can we stop
the
playing?
same as the Galio meme, okay?
Yeah, can we just
It's
stop
very much
playing
real.
TSM? If you're listening to this podcast, which I know you are, why wouldn't you be?
Shout out to Parth.
Stop picking Ryze for Bjergsen, please. Just stop it right now.
I know Syndra's like trash in the meta, just I'm pretty sure he's still better on Syndra.
Yeah, just pick something that's not Ryze on him and, and you'll be okay. And apparently not Xerath either, but anyways. Yeah, so Liquid won. You win
Handily. Handily.
handily.
And I think the
Okay.
biggest thing is that, like, this was a very clear indication of why Doublelift is so valuable to, or was so valuable to TSM, because it just felt like TSM came out and they had a really decent draft, like, to set them up. A lot of people don't like the Shyvana pick, but I thought it was fine because you pick three winning lanes, so
I
you're
liked the
okay to pick a
Shyvana
power.
pick.
Yeah, like, it's totally fine to pick a power farming jungler.
Take
And
an
Shyvana
early
right
dragon.
now feels good. Yeah, the early dragon, their first 5 minutes were like perfect,
We're grade
and
A.
which I think now is a big, huge thumbs up to Song. Their coaching is very clear. They have a coaching impact right now on their game. And then the first 5 minutes like passes and they're coming out of the huddle and coming out of draft plan has to roll into like in-game shot calling and stuff, and Liquid just fucking rolled them.
I think and I kind of brought this up last podcast, I think it stems from McSmithy, to be honest with you. I think
it's both.
I think he out-jungled Mike Young. I don't think Mike Young did bad, but I think McSmithy just out-jungled him so bad that he gained advantages where he needed to, because there wasn't really a lane that in its own right smashed, right? Like, none of the TSM laners, none of the Liquid laners, like just crushed each other one-on-one, right? Like, it was back and forth, and then the junglers got involved, and that's where TL got their advantages. So... I don't know, like...
The junglers also, like, Smithy and Mike Young both did really good jobs of tracking each other early.
They did.
Especially, like, against the power farming that they wanted to do, I was really surprised on how well they tracked each other throughout, like, the first 10 to 20 minutes. And I think the fact that the lanes went even is, like, a loss for TSM, just because they really did have three setup. Like, this whole first pick Gangplank all weekend, which is going to be a total... like trend, because TL took their first pick on Gangplank for Impact. First picking Gangplank should be so abusable. And I know he's strong because of Klepto, and he's going to get to the scaling point whether you want him to or not. But how do you go through early game? And Impact starts the game off 2-0-3. Like, he's just total, and he's playing completely safe. Haunter's pushing up to tier twos on him, like 20 minutes into the game. Or not 20, but like 15 minutes into the game.
Like 2 minutes into the game.
Yeah, and he's just, and Impact's still playing safe, and he's just... I don't know. Like, it to me, it just felt like when you pick these lanes, to have none of them come out as a clear winner is just so bad.
Especially when you draft a winning lanes. Yeah. Yes,
and all three. It's not like one eight, like got out of control.
I agree. Like, and I don't think they. I don't want to like go, because we'll go into this for the whole hour. But I don't think it was a draft thing. I don't think it was like really poor play on TSM side of
can't
things.
Can't blame Parse, can't right. blame Sven.
I don't have anyone to blame. What do That's you why do, I'm not a TSM no? fan anymore. I don't have anyone to blame except for TSM, so I'm just
So it's, we'll talk about the like
the second game
weekend on them in a bit. We'll talk about that a little bit. But the big thing that I really, really liked about this was I loved the way TL just kind of pressed their advantage. All game, like the Baron rush, and everything felt good. And all right, listen now. And I thought it was really funny that in the post game interview, Double Lift dropped the who's on optic.
Who's on optic? Yeah.
When they asked him about how he's feeling like about next week,
he's forcing it at this point. He's just doing it to meme. He just likes the Reddit karma.
Yeah. Ultimately, big play of this game was Pobelter's roam top.
Yeah.
That Pobelter like, power well. You out. Out roaming or rise, Pobelter, and then yes, Pobelter, great game.
Keyword there: out roaming or rise. Out roaming or rise, 100%. Just that's the game right there. We can leave it at that.
Great 5 minutes, and then just waited until they lost. Yep. It was just not good. All right, next game.
Yeah,
the new fanboy,
100 Thieves and Optic.
100 Thieves,
slow this as was a shit.
Very good game.
It was a great game. I love this game, but this was the stopwatch meta in a paragraph. I don't even know what I'm trying to say here, but
yes,
it was slow. Honestly, highlight of this game for me, two highlights. One, Afremu, right? Seems better, like better than last season, back to kind of Afremu form. Okay,
you're comparing him into Lemon Nation.
Yeah, but I mean, over the weekend, the whole weekend, he looked better.
Yeah, true.
For this game, though, I was really impressed with Meteos' play on Sejuani. Right, this was the Sedge game?
Yeah. Where he hits face of the mountain.
Yeah, it was. It seemed good. He made good decisions. It was an LCS jungler. And I was impressed. And that's...
I had down I liked his, it. His, like... His yes. ults and him... Yes. And the big thing here was that, like, I didn't like Optic's draft at all. So they picked Rengar in the first rotation with Ezreal. And I don't know if Lemon is just in love with spamming Spooky Ghosts on Morgana or if his champ pool is actually garbage, but He doesn't play like anything else. And he, I think he just likes to spam the spooky ghosts with a little freeze rig action going on all game. Because every 40 seconds, ghosts are out. And I like how the casters did a really fun job of trying to be like, I guess he's trying to make sure there's nobody around. Like, it was interesting. I agree, though. I think media, this is a very farm heavy early game. And then the game just kind of like mid-game. Blew open in 20 minutes. Like, the game just blew open at 20 minutes. Like, yeah. One fight basically turned into trading First Blood for Rift Herald and Two Towers. For First Blood and Two Towers. And then, like, was how this game, like, opened up. And it was like, what is going on?
What just happened?
And then, after the Baron play, because 100 Thieves rushed the Baron at 21 minutes.
Grade A.
With the Shen ulti and Rise ulti. Grade A
Baron play.
Yes. But it took that Baron buff for them to just have, like, even gold. Like, after that Baron buff was over, they were at even gold at 21 minutes. Like, it was just like, all right. And then they basically played ARAM for 10 minutes straight for the second Baron. And they played this little Baron dance without actually committing to anything. And then Lemon gets caught. And then Fiesta number two. Yeah. And everything just total chaos. And it ends with Arrow trying so hard to pop off. And all he needed was Lemon to be alive and spell shield him once.
Yep.
And Arrow would have carried that fight. And he barely dies.
Arrow looked good this weekend.
I love that they prioritized Ezreal for him in this game. Because it's very clear. It's like, if he's going to have a chance in lane to be, like, strong and, like, actually win a lane and come out at an even or advantage, like, you've got to get him these primary picks. And Ezreal's so strong, and he's so good on Ezreal. He hit every fucking Q in lane.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Overall, it was a good game. It was a good game.
Yes, another interesting thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I thought one of the big standout to me, which was super quiet, was Someday was nuts in this game. His split pushing and his pressure in the side lanes was incredible. And he just drew so much attention. They got two inhib towers, both top and bot inhib towers died to minions because of the amount of split push pressure he had on Shen. So just shout out to that. They basically did the classic, or they just bled them out. There was a couple big clown fiestas in this game with lots of downtime and farming, and then they eventually just kind of bled them out. 60 minutes into the game, they basically just pushed in the side waves and finally split properly. Everything kind of just went downhill from there. Post game, shout out to Meteos for taking shots at Jensen. Did you hear that, by the way?
I didn't, no.
So they interviewed Jensen post game, and they asked about his relationship with Ryu, and he's like, I love Ryu because he's not selfish like other mid laners I've played with. Meteos, you haven't played with that many mid laners. We know who you're talking about. So I thought that was really interesting that he took shots at Jensen like that, because that's not a typical Meteos thing to do.
No, not in a serious manner.
I enjoyed that.
So, all right.
Yeah, overall, good game, long game. Arrow, by the way, another thing I have noted, Arrow popping off with 82k damage this game. Next highest was Cody Sun at like less than 60. So Arrow tried to go nuts, but just not enough. The Rengar was really, really useless on Acadian. I like the idea of trying to use that to counter the Cog, but it was ultimately like really useless.
Yeah, I don't like Cog in the LCS. I don't think. I feel like his win rate's not that high, and I'm probably just like grossly underestimating it. But I feel like every time I see Cogma, I'm just like, wow, this feels underwhelming.
Yeah. The build paths were interesting in this game for him too. He ended up like selling Runans and selling, like, the items on AD's late game, because they get to late game so fast, is crazy. That'll be a trend throughout all these games. Yeah, like items. Selling Runans for Phantom Dancer, selling boots for BT, it's really weird. All right, next game was Clutch versus Golden Guardians.
Yep.
And this game was a lot different than I expected. Again, with so Solo, fresh rookie, gets first pick Gangplank, trend of the weekend. It's getting Gangplank first pick. And as far as draft goes, Golden Guardians just basically picked four great team fighters and basically allowed a counter pick for an assassin on the last pick. And they put Lyra on Eve, which I was super hyped for. But Contrax on Kha'Zix tries to just carry this game. Like, instantly, level 3 invades, Lyra plays it so smart, though. And I'm in love with Lyra, so I'm just gonna. He didn't play that well this weekend, but as far as this game goes, he just kind of sat back and just knew that that Contrax was gonna try and run around his jungle all game, and he just played away from him and waited for the game to go. And this is like classic Envy. 22 minutes, they get Baron for free, and then they just safe push and it runs out, and then they just very slowly. Just safely, quietly, just
very slowly win the game.
Waited for everything to whittle down and end. It was a very, very boring ending.
Yeah.
Olo did play really, really well on GP, though. So shout out to him for being a rookie, getting first pick priority, and doing something with it. He actually ended the game with the most damage.
Yeah. Overall, I mean, it was a better game than I was expecting. And my prediction was right. So
yeah. I was right on the prediction as far as what Golden Guardians were going to do, right. Which is they really tried to get Contrax on something he could carry with and get him ahead early.
Yep.
And Lyra, they just, you know, they get him a perfect level 3 invade. Yes, the waves are pushed perfectly for him to fight Lyra, and Lyra is just too smart to get caught from that shit. And exactly. There's a couple times where Contrax goes and has the timing like on his Gromp and on his wolves and goes and wards for him, and Lyra is already on the other side of the map because he knows it's coming. I don't get it, man. He's cheating. He has vision.
I think Lyra did better than you're giving him credit for, even though you gave him a decent amount of credit. Maybe you gave him just the right amount of credit. Either way, I thought the junglers were like the fun part to watch about this game.
Yes.
Everything else Clutch was just kind of
gave the very like they gave that very like we're playing this smart versus trying to pop off.
Right.
And with the players that they have, I think that's perfect. They very much have the ability to bleed teams out. I wish they would have won sooner. There was a time where Lyra got picked late in the game and it kind of extended everything. But it's they other than closing out a little quicker, they played a really solid game. Not many mistakes.
Agreed. I liked it.
Yeah, Lyra was baiting a lot with Eve, which I thought was really smart, really cool way to play it. Yeah. Where he was, instead of like grouping, like shadowing, because normally later game when you're pushing up to those like inhib towers and stuff like that, you'll shadow and run a 4-1 where you have your three, your bot lane and your mid laner, you know, pushing a side lane and then your top laner. And instead of shadowing the like bot and mid lane, he was shadowing his top laner, who was in the solo lane, trying to bait them to jump on the solo lane and kind of get kills there. And he did a really good job of protecting solo that way. Yeah. So shout out to that.
Okay. Echo Fox versus FlyQuest.
Funnest game of the weekend.
Green across the board. Echo Fox wins.
Yep. So the cool thing about this game that I want to go back to drafts. I love talking about drafts. Drafts are really fun. They basically set this up to where GP made it through all 10 bans. And I was like, whoa, Echo Fox set it up to where they've got GP as this first pick. How did FlyQuest not ban out GP?
Right.
And they totally get baited into picking GP for who need to bust out the ultimate the counter pick.
Lucian.
The top lane Lucian. Holy fuck, man.
He went off. He did exactly what everyone thought he was going to do.
All he was casters, plus 20 CS at like 8 minutes.
Yeah, all the casters were, I mean, there's a reason all the casters have said that he's the best top laner in North America right now. And I think that maybe by a mile is a bit of an exaggeration, but he definitely flexed.
Yes. This game, there's really nothing to talk about this game except for Huni just literally shoved top in until everything broke. He broke first turret at 9 minutes. Phoenix is solid as fuck. After all, I was really concerned about how he'd play this weekend. Really solid. And Dardoch looked really good playing around Huni. Huni obviously is like him playing top lane and his knowledge of the map and when he can push and when he can't is incredible. Huni just carries this game straight out. And I thought in the post game, Jat made a really, really, really good point. And he's like, this game is a message to everyone in the league. You cannot let Huni counterpick you. They you can't pick in that second rotation You can't let them bait you into taking that premier top lane pick unless you're confident you can handle it. He has every counter pick in the book ready to go for any champ.
More than anyone.
It doesn't matter how strong they are. GP is arguably the most, the strongest top laner. He's first picked in almost every game. Makes it through 10 bans, and Huni still could counter pick and fucking smash it. So shout out to Jat for making that point and calling out the rest of the league for basically saying if you have last pick, it better be your top lane.
Yeah. I'm stoked. That was the game right there. Like, that was the whole game.
Flight, it was literally Huni pushing all game with Dardock on Zac, shadowing him, and
Dardock's play was good. Not like exceptional, but it was good.
Yes,
I think he shined. He will get to it, but I think his play in this, I liked his play in the second game against Clutch. I thought he did really well there, and spoilers, there was an interview, and that also went really well, which is opposite of what we both predicted. So
we'll talk to that.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. CLG Cloud 9.
You were totally right on this game. C9 was a good call on this. CLG had a very weird game, I guess. And here we go again with draft wise. The rookie Licorice on Cloud9 gets GP first pick,
mm-hmm.
and he gets it into Ornn.
Yep.
And this draft came down to CLG had a very good draft, and C9 had last pick, and CLG had this very good aggressive comp setup, and C9 Jensen just comes out with the zillion counter pick. And it just ruins all of CLG's. It just
ruined the entire. It just shattered their draft. It was great
off that one pick. Yes, so that's huge. Reaper played that, and Dix is a great coach. And for him to get I don't want to say he got baited to it, but how often can you say where that one final pick literally just breaks the draft?
Breaks your entire draft. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was great. Jensen played it well.
I also like that CLG finally did what you should be doing against every first pick GP, as they abused it and they dove it twice in the first 10 minutes, even with stopwatch. That was a crazy first dive, by the way, where stopwatches were popping everywhere. Holy fuck.
It was awesome,
This
though.
Is the ultimate League of Stopwatch moment. Yeah. This is the real first time, the other games, there wasn't really any hard commit dives like that. Rainover's in there with one health, trying to get every tick of damage before he pops his stopwatch.
He's just it's stopwatch.
Yes. And Licorice played as safe as you can on GP, but you're...
I was happy with Licorice's play. From what he did, he could not have played that dive any better.
I'm not saying I'm sitting on a Rookie of the Year take, but I'm sitting
on Listen, there's more time. Either way, I don't think CLG played it bad either, not to go into this big long thing, but I think... I was happy with both teams' play. It was a good game overall. I thought it was one of the more enjoyable games to watch that day, I think.
Yes, and I think it was clear where Aframu was missing when they were doing the whole Baron dance thing around 25 minutes. CLG did not look good in the Baron dance.
No.
And it really probably cost them, because that's what really kind of blew the game open, but gave them the lead. Rainover also, the Rengar picks look really bad so far up to this point, because they just didn't get going, and they didn't have that, they're shutting someone completely out of the game moment. They went for the shutting the GP out of the game, but he just, with the new items and Klepto, he just scales into it anyway.
Yeah, it's North American Rengars. Yep. We're not even at Worlds, and they've already started losing.
So. And I think another thing, too, is... there was a few moments where Licorice could have probably played it smarter and safer, but he was at... I don't know.
I appreciate that he was willing, though, to take those risks. You saw that he can play safe. You saw that he can manage things. He can manage a wave well. He can manage a top laner who should be better than him, right? Darshan is at least
arguably top half.
I would say top half.
Yeah, and I think the big thing was, as a C9 fan, it feels good to look at that and say, okay, it's us losing impact. It doesn't mean we're losing the team.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's day one.
Day one, done, in the books.
Overall,
Boom.
Yes, I was super hyped. So glad, especially for the games. I love the day one games. They had the Golden Guardians versus Clutch, same day as the Golden State Warriors and Houston Rockets game. Thought that was cool, clever. Everybody's showing out. Reggie pulling up in the Lambo. The pre-show was really cringy, but other than that, I love the analysis throughout the day. So Chad and Mark Z, I'm really excited that they'll be on the desk all year.
Mm-hmm. And I only missed one prediction, so you know.
Yeah, I remember when I said if I overthink everything, I'll get.
Yeah.
Turns out I just overthought everything.
Okay, so day two, we led off with Optic and TL. And I was very opinionated about this game while watching it. I think...
You just wanted everything TL to fall apart in this
game. Listen. TL should feel like absolute garbage about this game. They had...
Depends.
No, not even depends.
There was a couple of points that I liked about this game.
Very, very few. But in all reality, the level of that they should be playing at and the level that they have spent money on to get to have that game basically be given to them by Optic, right? There are 2 points in that game where Optic literally just says, okay, we don't want to win, right? In an experienced environment, 100% TL loses that game. 100%. Yes.
The big things that I saw were that... Smithy, or however you want to say it.
Smithy.
Yes. Smithy. he had a real bad game. Mm-hmm. And I think if it wasn't for Pobelter playing so well, again, insane roams. He opens up the game with turning a gank into a 3-0 for TL. Mm-hmm. Like right off the bat after Optic gets a 2-for-0. And turns into a 3-for-0 because Smithy just ends up down there and dies. It was one of those things where if Pobelter doesn't play as well as he did, I think this game's over. And I also think if Optic has any other support and that's not named Lemon Nation, like I think I could have helped them win this game because Lemon getting caught is just, it's going to be their signature thing is Optic's winning a game up. Lemon got caught. Guess can't do anything. Oh, Lemon got caught again. I guess we're just gonna lose. And it wasn't only him. I mean, Optic, they just had a very, very strong early game, which is one of the things I was really nervous they wouldn't get. And when you start off that early against a team like TL, you really just need to push it. Yeah.
Keep going.
And it ultimately came down to TL just kind of weathered the storm until the Baron Dance started. And they did this really cool thing where they invaded into the blue buff on bot side and basically faked that they were on Baron, but they were in around the blue buff pit. And when Optic walks up to go down ramp to get into river to check Baron, TL just comes flying over the blue buff wall and just smashes that team fight. And they get Baron off of it. And it's like, well, TL's back. They're in it. It's over. Well,
and that's the thing. That is the first and probably the biggest instance of in an experienced match. They like, come on, anyone above, I would say plat 3, like you don't face check that. I don't.
You got a ward. Rivers, by the way, for giving that like perfect moment of darkness to show what Optic was face checking into, and they were face checking as a team. And the big problem was his arrows in base because he just cleared a lane and backed for an item, I think.
Yep.
And arrows in base, and the four of them face check without arrow.
Yeah.
And TL, being the aggressive shot callers, they fucking jump on him.
They jumped it. And the fight was over in less than a minute.
Fight was so clean.
Yeah.
And
because it was in a fight. It was a massacre.
Yeah, it was.
Literally, like, Optic couldn't do anything in that fight because they shouldn't have been there. And that was like that was the turning point, and that's like you're not given that instance, right? That was to me something that an LCS team shouldn't be doing, right? That's a huge inexperience right there as an LCS team, and that's the type of things that like in the second half of the season you don't get back. I think in the second half of the season, like Liquid loses that game.
Yeah, so, and I think the other thing too that was kind of concerning for Liquid is that Ale is kind of showing that he doesn't want to conform to meta supports. So they go with Thresh on Ale. And he's a mechanical god. Don't get me wrong. He's way better than I will ever be at this game. But he did not look good on Thresh. And there was a point where TL had to ban out Braum because they're not willing to pick it. And Brom's probably the strongest support right now into a lot of these a lot of these bot lane matchups with hyper carries. And if he's not going to be playing stuff like that, that could be concerning later on, depending on what the meta is. Because it's all going to depend on what the meta is during playoffs. Right. And if Ale's not going to play what's strong in the playoffs, that could be really concerning, especially if he's not going to pop off on his pocket picks. Right. It's fine if you want to pocket pick Thresh, but when you're not doing anything but lanterning teammates, like, and even he was late on the lantern flash with one of the sickest escapes. There was multiple sick-ass escapes this week.
Yeah.
But there was a really cool escape for Impact. But he flashed late when he lantered him. And if you would have, like, there was just a lot of, like, really small things. I was like, come on. You can, I know he can do it.
You can do better.
I would love to see him carry on Thresh, but it just didn't look good.
No.
So I want to see them hopefully pick more meta stuff for Ale soon.
Soon. Hopefully. TM.
Yep. And now to the next game. It is time for me eat the trash, Connor, shit on FlyQuest in our prediction pod.
Listen, okay, I still, in my opinion, I don't really put FlyQuest in a different light, right? Like, I still feel like by the end of this season, I think FlyQuest will be one of the bottom two teams, maybe bottom one.
Yep.
This was TSM just garbage.
Bad.
Awful. I have built five-man teams better than this.
On Azir, but yes, a TSM did not... There was nothing that I liked
at all. Nothing.
There was a cool... the only notes I really have for TSM is there was a cool solo kill when Bjerg just hit every ult of Xerath on Turtle, and he died through two lockets and
shield. The only time he hit skill shots.
It was the only TSM highlight. Oh, no, he hit other skill shots. He was just
barely...
He was pelting tanks all game.
Yeah. Well, do you see that? There's that Baron fight. That Baron fight where he missed like three Qs, and I'm just like, all right, you can't kill anything if you can't hit it.
There was also one next to Dragon where he's just standing in the blue buff pit with no mana and out of auto attack range, and he waits like 15 seconds to flash over and auto attack someone.
Yeah.
And it looked bad. This was after the first day, there was a lot of flame on Bjergsen for not roaming on Ryze and not doing anything with any leads. And
so what did he do? He didn't roam on Xerath.
The ultimate, like, I'm going to sit in my lane and farm. And I think a lot of it came down to, I think they kind of gut checked Keen to see if FlyQuest would pick him Azir. And I don't think Bjerg was ready to play into Azir. I think they asked him if he could, and he could play Xerath into it. But when he picked Xerath, it did not look like it was a part of their game plan for him to just sit and farm.
No.
And it just came down to, again, it felt like there was a serious lack of shot calling in game. They didn't get smoked in the draft by any mean, but it did feel like they kind of were like gut checking FlyQuest to be like, are you going to pick the meta shit? Are you going to pick comfort shit? Right. What are you going
to
do?
Well, I think the easiest way to tell that is you put these two drafts on two different teams, right? Two closer teams, or teams that should be closer at least. And I think it's a completely different game, right? I think it's a closer game. I think it's a better game to watch. And I just think that it was just really terrible play.
Yeah. There was a couple turtle spottings, by the way.
His second flash of the game was like super aggressive. And I was just like, oh, there he is.
He just flashed at him.
It was
the ultimate, like, my dick's big. What are you doing?
You're not even in range. You're not even in auto attack range. What are you doing? Yeah, get the hell back.
He just flashed at him and walked away. His whole team already peeled off to finish a different kill. And he just flashed at him.
Runs. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, I just love that TSM didn't even punish the turtle moments.
Right.
Like, there was clear turtle spottings that were not punished, and it was bad. It was a horrible game.
Yeah, terrible
game. Yeah.
We're moving on.
Really interesting moment.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
After game.
Oh,
so after the game, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Mark Z and Jet decided to try this whole...
Yeah, I did. It was really good.
Reddit police.
I mean, it wasn't good, but I liked the way they did it in a way. I liked that they were changing the way they analyzed.
Yes. So the desk goes and they break down whether or not all this flame from before this game was valid on Bjergsen and whether or not he played this game properly. Because I think they both sniffed out real quick that Bjergsen played like shit this game and more heat was coming. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. This felt like Mark Z's show, The Blame Game, but with him with his riot hat on. And one of the cool things about the Blame Game when Mark records it, exactly, he sits there and he goes, Keith played like shit, or so-and-so played like shit. Like, Keith was obviously the most popular one last year on Equifax, but, like, I really wanted to hear him. They played it way too safe, and they didn't give an opinion. They basically said Bjergsen's good, but he has high expectations. And it's true, when you put a two-time MVP on a team that you've built around and you've blown up and built around the team for him twice, and he comes out flat again, he's going to get a lot of pressure from one of the biggest fan bases, especially when, you get rid of one of the most popular players in the league in Double Lift.
Yep.
And I did like that they addressed it. I didn't like how they did it. I wish they would have been more kind of unchained for it. But
right.
Anyway, I'm glad they addressed it, because it was really cool to hear their thoughts and hear them try and protect it, but also hold accountability.
Right. So, yep. Okay. CLG versus 100 Thieves.
Yeah. One more thought on that game for FlyQuest. I'm sorry. I ate the trash. I'm done flaming FlyQuest. I think they're still bad. Another thing. I keep remembering things. In the post-game interview with Turtle basically came out and said their communications are shit. And it kind of validates everything I wanted. He's basically like, the whole team doesn't even speak English. And Fly is not even there yet. They're playing with Keen. I don't think FlyQuest is going to have a good year. This was absolutely TSM being total garbage, but they're probably going to end up with more than two wins, so I'll get over it.
you done?
Next.
You got it all up?
100 Thieves versus CLG. Congrats again, Connor. Your stupid fucking predictions are always right, because I never overthink anything.
7-3. Really, I'm gonna say I should have been 8-2. Because I'm pretty sure in the podcast I mention me thinking Echo Fox could win against Clutch, but anyways, going to CLG 100 Thieves. 100 Thieves is the truth. This is a good game.
Yeah, I like this pick. CLG tried to switch it up and got punished by picking Kate and Janna bot lane. Mm-hmm. And trying to play a super aggressive game. But this really came down to me, this really cool jungle matchup again with Meteos and Rainover, and them tracking each other and really making this game just turn into someday popping the fuck off. And the bot lane picks that CLG tried to get ahead and get aggressive with just never turned into anything. And 100 Thieves, with Someday going absolutely bananas and almost 1v2ing, like, in side lanes,
yep.
Just turned into a super clean and fast 100 Thieves win.
Yeah, it was a good game. I was super happy with it. I wasn't really sure what to expect. I kind of picked 100 Thieves just because I was like, they could if one. CLG has a bad day. And I want 100 Thieves to win. Sometimes the big gambles pay off.
Yep. Yep. Shout out to Someday. He's in for a good year with Meteos as a jungler. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
I'm ready to like throw in the Someday for MVP like ticket, because Meteos, the way he's tracking junglers in these first two games, he's got all his lanes can do whatever they want.
I need another week of Meteos before I really kind of take back the things I said. Man. Listen, I will buy it after another week like he had this week. And I have lightened up. I see it, right? Meteos has committed a little bit more, right? He does for sure have the caliber that we're used to, that he used to have. Well, close enough at least. But I need another week to like really see and just really get him tested before I'm like, yep, okay, I'm sorry for the things I said in episode one.
Here's one more thing to just push you a little farther, a little closer to that edge, is that last time Meteos was a full-time player and not just filling was during that whole locket meta where someone had to build a locket because it did AoE magic resist and armor or whatever it was. And he just absolutely hated that fucking meta where junglers just got the shaft and were basically your second sight stone that had to rush locket. And I don't know if he's like just totally gotten over the fact that he's still doing the junglers get shafted meta, but he's building face of the mountain every game. And he's playing tanks, and he's playing protect the AD, and like, him just his overall play is just as good as it was, I think, when he was a better jungler in the league. And
I agree. It's better. It's
he's not 12K up to far, superstar.
Yeah, he's not season three MVP, he's better than last season or two seasons ago.
Yeah, so. And I don't think it's worth discounting that the first ever MVP of LCS doesn't have the quality to play this game anymore. Right. Especially when he's got winning lanes and he's doing a really good job of playing around them. So I like it.
Yep, I agree. Also something I learned last week, I say I agree way too much. So hopefully I cut down on that this week.
It's because I got all the notes, and so I break out all the stuff in the game, and you're like, you're right. You're so right. Smart, Tom.
You're so not... you're smart, Tom.
You're supposed to agree.
Anyways, Golden State, or Golden Guardians, Golden State,
whatever. I'm going to do that a lot. I'm fine with it.
C9, it was a wash across the board, right? We knew C9 was going to win. I thought Golden Guardians did a little bit better than I was expecting, but at the end of the day,
fun draft, though. Zoe gets through. First LCS appearance. And the Zoe pick was huge, but it ultimately came down to Licorice not getting GP this time, gets his choice to counterpick it, and him on Kled, holy fuck, was he a Kled one trade?
Awesome. Oh my god, that mid lane kerfluffle that they had
spilled into bot.
Oh, it was awesome. It was so great.
He is so clean on Kled. Yeah, and again, with GP, the GP this weekend was like, you either first pick him and he's carrying games, or he was completely invisible. And Lorelo just didn't look like he knew how to play GP.
Nope.
And he didn't play bad. It was just that Licorice's Kled is fucking clean.
The 2 HP lived and then got Scarl back in the jungle during the bot lane. Holy shit.
His target selection also, in fights. So they have Taric for Golden Guardians. And there was times where, Deathly wasn't in the Taric ult because Matt was, ulting the front line, so they don't get blown up on the front line.
Yep.
And Deathly's not caught in it. And Licorice just gets on Deathly and fucking one-shots him in multiple fights.
Which, in Matt's defense there, Matt, I thought, played Taric pretty well.
I did too.
I was like, wow, okay, this is not the Matt from last season. He was improved, and I don't know, maybe if it was just because he was playing Taric or what, but I don't think the reason that Licorice popped off on Kled like that was because of, misplays on Matt's side of things with his Taric ults or things like that. So
I think it was a great lane matchup. Yeah. I thought he did a great job of snowballing, and super super solid win. It wasn't super fast stomp, but it was very solid. They won almost every fight, and Golden Guardians, when they got to their base defense, was ugly.
Oh god, it was, once they got to base defense, it was over. It was, they couldn't do anything. It was just can we FF? This open mid, I guess.
It's one of those games where you've got a guy on your team that picks GP, and instead of going, I just need to scale, he goes, is this over yet?
Yeah.
He was just getting the dick. Bro,
I got one. I died once. This game's over. GG. Surrender at 15.
Yep. I don't want to scale. Yeah. It's like, you're fucking on a scale. There was a Reddit thread about that.
There was. It was pretty great.
Final game of the weekend. And you know what's funny is I originally looked at this and was like, wow, this weekend's gonna, the second day is really gonna fall off. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to see Huni play so bad.
Dude, the second day I thought was way better than the first day. I thought it was gonna be just two shit shows, two teams just getting absolutely wrecked. One middle ground game.
The game of the day.
Yeah, the game of the day. Stomp. And then another stomp.
No one cares about the last game.
Right, and then I like Echo Fox, but do I like Echo Fox enough that I'm like, hell yeah, them against Clutch, they're gonna shit stomp them, or this is gonna be a really close game. It was just it's a game, I guess. The game went really fast too, it seemed like. I don't remember timing on it, but it was, I just remember being like, yeah, I got some time to do things before we're supposed to record. And then I turned and I was like, holy shit, wait, this game's ending.
Yeah, and Echo Fox did a really weird thing in this draft where with first pick, they first pick Ezreal.
Yep.
And then they first, like in their second rotation, it, usually you're like flexing in your jungler or your supports. You can kind of cover a solo lane to get some bans out and stuff like that. They basically first pick Ezreal and then second rotation take their solo lanes. And it puts Clutch in this really weird spot of like, wait a minute. Wait,
what do we do? We didn't prepare for this.
Yeah, like we wanted to ban out our like some matchups here. And I thought it was a really, really cool idea to come after that. One of the really interesting things about this game was Lyra on Sejuani taking Fleet Footwork and the Domination as the second tree. Did you look into that at all?
I didn't, no.
He went full power farm Sejuani.
Jesus.
And it didn't turn out to much. But it's just, this is why I love Lyra. He does all these weird-ass things. Like, I remember last season when he came out with the Nidalee with the XP runes starting and taking, like, four baby rafters and shit. Like, he has these weird quirks and routes and runes that I'm going to love seeing more of, especially in Best of Ones. I can totally see him abusing it. Mm-hmm. But this game really came down to Phoenix is clean as fuck on Azir. And... Dardoch played super well. Huni just was solid. He wasn't as dominant in the as the Lucian game, but it's very like the casters really brought up Huni's the best player in the league, like right now. He's the best player in North America, and if you can't let him counterpick you, so he changes your draft, and it's a terrifying matchup for a lot of teams, mm-hmm. And we talked about how all it's going to take is one Echo Fox win and one Dardoch interview, and it's over.
And it was the complete opposite.
How disappointing.
His interview was so respectful. It was so respectful. He laughed. He smiled. I was like, who the fuck are you?
Shout out to Avali to being like, anything you want to say to your haters? And he's like, no. Not really. I've worked really hard with, you know, with the Rick Fox coaching staff built around former NBA players, and they say I don't even have a really bad ego. There's other people with bad egos. And it's like, wait, he's been brainwashed. Like, I'm convinced. Instead of Dardoch is reformed, I'm starting the hashtag save Dardoch.
Save Dardoch.
We need to save Dardoch.
No.
He's been brainwashed and kidnapped. Someone nope. Help him.
I was happy that interview went the exact opposite. That I thought it was going to, and probably everyone who even knows anything about Dardoch.
Now that Dardoch is like brainwashed, dude, Echo Fox is fucking scary.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I told you I liked Echo Fox's lineup.
I mean, I told you that there's like the lightning in the bottle potential,
right,
of them like blowing this up. But holy shit, like Dardoch actually went into that. I don't know if it'll stick. It's gonna take a couple tough losses or a couple throws.
Yeah,
there was a couple moments in the first game of the weekend where there was a couple moments where Phoenix kind of like respect flash. There was one in the first game. I think he was on Rise, and he just straight up respect flashed a gank, like in their first game, and it was like, oh shit. I wonder if Dardoch's tilted, because you hear like the question mark ping go off. You don't see where it is or what it's about. It's realistically, it's just someone calling out where the junglers are. Right. But like, it's like, wait a minute, is he flaming? Like, everybody's just looking for that.
Yell at him.
He just sees a teammate flash and goes, "What the fuck, dude? You didn't see that gank coming?" Like everybody's just waiting for it. And I don't know if anyone's ever been on such thin ice after behaving so well.
Yeah, I don't, we'll see. Give him more time. Kind of, we both said it'll take a good O2 weekend for him to maybe show his true colors. But
and their upcoming weekend is against Cloud9 and against TSM. Oh, talk about a test.
That's a 2-0 weekend for them.
Talk about a test.
Or maybe 1-1.
No, for real.
It might be a 1-1 weekend.
Yeah. Anyway, overall for the weekend, our predictions went very poorly for both of us.
What?
Fuck off. Have your moment.
Take the stage.
It's all yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, what did I say I wanted to go be above? I said I wanted to be above 60%, 50%, 60%.
You initially were like, I want to be above 80%. Yeah, and I'm like, course. You're fucking drunk.
Hey, listen.
Or 100% is what you said.
Listen, I switch and I go with my gut and I pick Echo Fox there. I'm 80%.
That was close, too.
Yeah.
That was one of those games where it's like, end of the day.
Yeah.
You could see it. Yeah, I ended 3-7 on the day.
Tom went 3-7. I went 7-3.
Hey, Connor, what were two of your losses?
Oh, my God. Both of my losses were TSM. God. Sue me.
Let's go.
Shut up. He's a Liquid fanboy right now, guys.
The big thing was for me is that I didn't really have an association to one team, except for the teams that went for Worlds. It was super fun to cheer for NA.
Yep.
But you pick up favorite players, right? And it's so hard not to just like ride that impact train when the whole top die thing's going down. And I just love the way that Double Lift doesn't fucking care about anybody's well-being. And he doesn't care if you have a family. He'll call your ass out. And so it's really cool to me that they take a really solid, quiet core from Immortals, which is a very successful team, and put two huge players. I almost called them impact players, but there's only one impact. And, you know, I just like the way they built their team. Shout out to Steve for dropping the bag and really pulling out all the cash to make it work.
Did you see the picture on Twitter of Steve posing next to the Lambo?
The Lambo?
Yeah.
It was paid by Steve on Reggie's Lambo.
It was so bad. He was freaking ruthless this weekend on Twitter.
Do you think he owns that?
That Lambo?
Reggie owns that Lambo? Yeah. Oh, do you think he rented it?
I don't know. I don't know. I wonder, I'm intrigued by what the... Do you think the net worth of Reggie's online somewhere?
I mean, I'm sure it's on... The better thing to look up is the net worth of a TSM, because he doesn't have any other worth other than his player salary, right?
Well, I mean, the Team Solomon website used to generate revenue for him.
But anyway, overall, week one, super hype. So glad I got to sit on my couch and watch it all. Fucking loved all of it. It's great. I'm ready to move on to some talking points of the weekend, though.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of went over. So our first talking points were CLG and TSM
02. The big thing, though, that I want to talk about this is if you're either of these teams, how close is your hand getting to that panic button?
I mean, if you're, well, either of them right now, I don't think you should be worried yet, right? I think if you take some heavy losses next week, because I guess I haven't looked at either of their games for next week.
Optic and Echo Fox.
If TSM loses to Optic, your hand is close to that panic button, for sure.
I'm just saying that Optic came out with very strong early game against Liquid.
Yeah. I agree.
Look like shit against
TSM could very easily lose both games again next week.
I think the thing I fear for them coming up against Optic is that if they let Optic take the super early game lead again, mm-hmm. and then they do the TSM thing that they did where they just sat around and waited to lose,
yep.
like they're asking for it. Like it's so ridiculous that you still aren't willing to bump them down your power rankings yet, but they're on upset alert against Optic. Optic's 0-2 also.
I'm willing to bump them down below Liquid right now, I think.
You want
to
put them... You don't think Echo Fox is better than them after the games they put up this weekend?
This weekend, yes. Next weekend, yes. By the end of the season, I don't think so.
No, I get... Well, I mean, we'll get the test. We get the Fox versus TSM game.
Right.
And I'm just saying, if TSM can start
0-4... Doesn't matter. Whatever. TSM can go 0-4. I don't care. I'm a 100 Thieves fan now.
You got all their shit sold out, so you can't be a bad guy.
I tweeted it in 8 shot today, and I don't even remember how I worded it. Hold on, let me pull it up, because I thought I was funny. I didn't get a response.
I'll give you a BJ for a jersey.
No, that's not what I said. I said, 8 shot, just release the jerseys already. I need one. I didn't get a response. I didn't even get a
shocker.
Like. So, yeah.
Anyway, otherwise, I wanted to see. But how about CLG? How close are you to that panic button?
Who do they play? If they lose to Clutch, if they lose to Golden Guardians, yes. If they lose to Clutch, probably not. That I think Clutch and CLG could be a good game. I think if they lose to Golden Guardians,
For me, I don't think it's ready yet. I think they just became a victim of best of ones this week.
Yeah.
I think they were the ultimate victim of best of ones. One, because the C9 game, their game got flipped on its head by the draft with the Zillion pick, last pick. Just blew up everything. And then the second game, they tried to be the ones to spook people with the Caitlyn Janna pick, bot lane, and it just didn't pan out. And so I really just feel like they fell victim to best of ones this weekend. I like the idea of them letting Rainover play shit like Rengar. I want Rainover to be on full like MVP Rainover duty because he's got winning lanes again. Jat did a really, really good job of selling why CLG should be good. But I think they'll bounce back fine, assuming they don't just get outdrafted or just slip and fall victim again to the.
I agree with that, but I don't agree with Jett and the standpoint of CLG's a first place team.
I think the big thing though is that he's overselling Darshan. Yes. He thinks Darshan is the best top laner in NA.
He thinks he's like mixed in the top half. If Darshan for me is in the top half of the top laners in North America, he is the bottom of the top half.
Yeah. There's no way I could put him in the top three currently.
No. Oh hell no. I don't think I can put him in the top four. Hooney.
I'd honestly, there's arguments to put Licorice and rookies over top of him. Solo yeah. played really well this weekend too.
Right.
Top lane again has become this monster. I remember like when everybody's so concerned because there's so many Korean top laners. The native ones are playing really fucking well.
I want to see how everything plays out this upcoming weekend first before I really start kind of like, holy shit, like.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It'll be an interesting weekend. Maybe. Maybe not. Yep. Who knows?
We kind of covered the Hooney thing.
Yeah, your Hooney. Hooney is his next point, and we've covered that twice now, I think.
Just sitting, the way that it was is just that it kind of capped off both days. I know the last game was CLG versus C9 the first day, but it was after the Lucian pick on day one. And then he capped off the second night with just a really, really solid game. And the Hooney's the best player in NA is very real and is going to be very talked about. And I'm really curious to see if anybody smashes him in lane at all this year.
Pull
up a stat. Do you realize he's only lost like three regular season games in like a long ass time?
Really?
Yeah, because of how dominant Immortals was. He was on SKT last year. He had more losses on SKT than any other team.
I guess that's true, because he was dominant on Fnatic, too, before that.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
Hooney's fucking insane. I'm totally ready to... I like the underdog of Someday. I really want to see the Someday versus Hooney matchup and see if they just let those two just fucking
fight it out.
Toe-to-toe.
Just no rock junglers, even. They're just like Rocky Balboa just... up there just beating the shit out of each other. It'll be great.
I would love it.
Yeah, no, that'll be a great matchup. When is that? Do you know?
No, it's not next week.
It's not next week.
Lot of good test games this week, though.
There are. Yeah.
Because we'll
go into that in our predictions, but there's a lot of potentially really good games this weekend. Anyways, okay, so other talking points we have.
The meta, the game. Every once in a while, we do decide to play the game. I know we talk about it.
I finished my placements.
Proud of you. I'm not even close.
I went 7-3, and we lost the last game because my jungler AFK'd at 2 minutes.
GG team sucks.
Yeah. So, and then I won my first game not in placements, so...
Yeah. I probably would be placed now, but I fell into the playing flex. I think I have 10 ranked games in. I've been trying to play like 2 or 3 games a day. Yeah. I've committed to playing support this year, even though I should probably, like, you know, if I ever want to climb consistently. I don't know. I carry some games on support. That's a thing.
I don't know if I really like the meta right now, though, to be honest. I'm okay with the League of Stopwatches thing. I don't think I like this whole, like, really defensive, like, gold generation start items for AD carries. Yeah. By the way, I'm an AD carry main. I don't think I've ever actually talked about that on the podcast. But I don't.
Oh, this relic shield and can't die in
it's
lane.
Just it's boring. So I don't do any damage.
You just get so tilted when you miss CS now.
I fucking hate it. Oh my god. Okay, so like I spent a ton of time just like practicing CS and like learning my damage outputs on my champions that I like to play and like and really making sure that I could CS well. And then with a Doran's Blade. And now everything's just like I keep missing these CS by like 3 damage and I'm just like, are you like really? Like
And the best part is now with the Relic Shield meta, your support knows extra when you miss too.
Well, but I mean the Relic Shield meta for me is gone tomorrow, Wednesday. Wednesday the 24th, ladies and gentlemen, Relic Shield, the gold generation is cut by 50% if you are a ranged champion. Oh my god, that means it sucks on Thresh.
Yep.
Holy shit, that's awful.
I'm scared. What do I do when I don't build a Sightstone?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, So they're changing the way the gold generation items work. So they're not generating gold as much gold for ranged champions anymore. They're updating Spell Thief's Edge and the Relic Shield line. And then all three of the gold generation items, when you complete the quest, basically give you a Sightstone active now. And then they've removed Sightstone and Ruby Sightstone from the game entirely. Which is interesting. You know who I think this hurts the most, honestly? Like, fine, whatever, it's cool for supports. But, like, what about Lee Sin? What about these junglers that a lot of the time would... used to build...
Is Smite Stone dead?
No, it's still there, but you only get one ward out of that.
Yeah.
Right? Is it one or two? It might be two wards. It's two wards, yeah.
It's two. I feel like they might still be fine just based off of the... It's just going to be more green smite in solo queue, which sucks for a lot of those like want to play super aggressive.
Yeah.
Do you think the junglers will be running these sight stones?
No. I don't think so.
Just because of the way it's affected?
Just the way...
To keep it out of the jungle?
I don't think... And I don't know for sure. I'm not... When it comes to like stats and gold generation and like kind of... What's going to be the best type of thing?
Yeah, it's going to be quest completion, and it's going to be how hard it is to complete these quests.
Right. If you can complete it in the jungle,
there's a chance of one of them. Yeah, like there's a chance of like only AP junglers get to use the Eye of the Watchers.
Right.
Like build, and they'll just tweak it when it comes. Oh, what, the eyeball's gone. All right. Yeah. I don't know what to do. I like how that's the way they adjusted. For those of you who don't see the photos of the adjusted sight stones,
they just
like the completed sight stone gold photos, not animations. It's just the eyeball on all of them is closed now.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
That's it. It's just depressing. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm intrigued to see how that works, and I'm happy to start building Doran's Blade again, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see how this will affect support builds, because I wonder what the speed to completion of the quests will be.
Right.
And I wonder if it'll affect like poke supports versus tank and stuff like that. Yeah. I do think Thresh is going to need a buff without being able to use
Targons. Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Because that takes away a lot of his sustain.
Well, and that was like... I mean, it was either that or coin, but I feel like I really enjoyed going Targons on Thresh, and I know a lot of people did. So that's...
And I think the cooler thing was you could play more aggressive with Targons because you had sustain. Like, now if you take one of those, like, hard trades, like, you take that hook in, you know, and you get punished, you don't just sit there with a coin and get back to full after, you know, a few procs and stuff like that.
You think they'll change his animation to be coded as melee?
I'm nervous that if they do, it'll be, like, busted.
Really?
It doesn't
change anything else for him, though. The only thing that changes is he can't... I mean, he gets to...
Does it make it too easy to sustain, though?
I mean, other champions get the same thing.
Fair enough.
Leona gets melee. I wish they could make it
to where... He has different animations for his auto attacks, and I wish that they would just register the melee auto attack versus the ranged like whip of the hook.
I agree.
Because when you walk up to a creep or a champion and you hit them, he has melee animation.
Yeah, it's like a closer melee animation.
Isn't there like different AD amounts too, or am I crazy? Did I hear that from
his different AD comes from his flay passive.
I knew that.
Yeah, that's the only.
It's like difference. A Sheen proc.
Yep.
Okay, I didn't.
That's the only difference in AD.
At some point, I got tricked into thinking his ranged attacks do different amount of damage than melee.
I don't think so. If they did,
it probably doesn't. I've never looked into it because if there is a difference, it's probably like 1 AD.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of it's not a big deal, but those are. I mean that's the major changes in this patch too. Is those items? There's some.
I'm probably gonna play him a lot less.
Thresh? Yeah,
I
like Blitz more, to be honest with you, to a degree. For those of you who also don't know, which is quite a bit of you probably, when I'm in lane, I play super aggressive and I like fighting
just a bit
all the time. So just I love Blitz.
Connor's the type of guy to play Ash just so that way when you don't do anything, he can still CC and kill his targets. Even when Ash isn't good. He just plays Ash so he can just arrow the second he hits six.
Two seasons ago, literally the only reason I played Ash, and I've told everyone who, they're like, who's your favorite AD carry right now? I was like, Ash. And they're like, why? And I said, because if my support doesn't engage, I can force him to.
You're so. Every support's worst nightmare.
You're the worst nightmare, because I also don't say, hey, I'm going to go in right now. I just start attacking.
You're the classic tumble in on Vayne. It's like, wait.
I don't die a lot in lane, though.
Maybe I just die for you.
Yep. Thanks, Tom.
Quite often.
Love you. I mean, there's some AD carries getting changed in this patch. Ezreal's getting nerfed. His Q's getting nerfed. Vayne's getting nerfed. Thank God.
Same thing, right? Her Q?
Yeah, her Q... No. Base attack speed is down, and then her final hour, her bonus AD is down.
Gotcha.
Her all ranks. Yeah. So... It's nothing huge, but I think it'll be nice.
Is she still going to be able to chain her ulti from that last time they updated her ultimate to where when she gets kill and assist, it like just extends the duration or resets
only the bonus AD has changed. Nothing else was changed.
She might still be pretty decent.
I think she'll be decent. She's still going to be one of the better two item power spikes in the game, but I don't think she's going to be like that crazy monster that we're seeing. Jinx was changed. She's not going to be viable still, I don't think, which makes me sad because Jinx is my favorite carry in the game. But
I just don't like the idea that they want her to be a hyper carry, but she doesn't fit the ideal hyper carry, like build a rage blade and just jump in. Yep. It's like wait, get your passive to go,
and go,
and then just kite your way around.
Yeah,
like that's just the weirdest way to try and make a hyper carry, and it's not one of those things. It even feels like where if they overtune it, it doesn't make her... Like, I don't know what it would take for her to be busted.
Honestly, where I think Jinx dropped off really bad was the attack speed nerf and the animation change on
when
her.
They made it to where you cancel every auto ever.
It was awful. I don't even want to get into it because I'll be talking for another hour. But yeah, she's nerfed. Evelynn's E damage got decreased. Echo's jungling again. He can jungle.
I want to play that, by the way. I love Echo Jungle. Echo Jungle is fun. It feels safe-ish as someone who doesn't juggle enough. Echo is just a really fun mechanical champ to play.
I like Echo. In solo queue, I don't know how I feel about Echo Jungle all the time.
Oh, whenever he's pros on my team, he just dies.
Yeah, he just dies.
We played a game with an Echo the other day that just never ulted.
Yeah. Malz is getting nerfed. Nunu's getting changed, and Ornn's getting nerfed finally. After like
just his ulti cooldown, right? Buffs.
Oh, and no, Unstoppable. and Unstoppable is taken off of W, which I thought was kind of crazy. I thought his biggest thing to me was his ult. So they nerfed his ult, and then they were like, "And fuck the W."
Well, I think the big thing was they're like, "What's wrong with Ornn?" And everybody's like, "He ults every 10 seconds, and his W is strong." And they're like, "Okay, we'll fix his W." And it's like, "Wait, no, we wanted you to take the damage down."
Yeah, take the damage. It's down. Not even. I guess it's not even the W. It's Brittle. Brittle's damage is crazy without building damage. Just scale the AD scaling back a little bit. I think that would be the better fix.
You push him out of lane because he's too tanky.
Yeah,
and he doesn't have to back.
Yeah. And then Pantheon and Sona were changed. They don't matter. It's not going to change anything. And that's the patch. That's it. That was a really quick patch notes, which is another talking point that we're already through.
Well, we'll probably, just for everyone, I mean, with the LCS starting, it's been the big hype. We're going to talk more about the general game, especially like as the season sets in and everybody's just kind of waiting for playoffs to start. We're going to have plenty to talk about the game. We'll shift more away from LCS as time goes, but in the meantime, it's like, how can you not be hype as fuck? Like, franchising here, like, everything's new, exciting.
Yeah, I think
same old game.
And once the games will level out too, I think. I don't think the season will be that crazy exciting for the entire time.
Right.
There'll be like the occasional big game that we talk about more, but otherwise everything else will be kind of like a, yep, they won, this is why.
Yep, FlyQuest still sucks. Yep,
exactly.
I should probably get off that.
Probably, but it's okay. It's only episode 2.
They only beat your number one TSM.
All right, moving on.
Maybe want number two that. TSM.
You're fired. So Swain rework was announced today. That was confusing.
Yes. So they released today on the 23rd all of his abilities, his looks, his new splashes. And my general consensus is he looks really fucking cool, but realistically, he's still pretty lame.
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know. His aesthetic is awesome. His passive seems kind of weird. I don't really like it. You like randomly can click on enemies and pull them towards you. And in the video, it just looks like it does a stupid amount of damage in the first one. Everyone's just like, what the fuck? You can just instantly kill somebody. But it doesn't do that. You just pull them towards you. His Q does damage, and it just, I guess, is a slight zoning tool, and it's a wave clear. It's mostly for wave clear.
Yes, and I think the big thing is he's no longer that you either get ahead and 1v9 or fall behind and you're just useless. It's like he now seems to be in a spot where he'll be a viable top lane AP bruiser with CC, so that way you don't have to split push all game. You can actually come in group and try and team fight. They added lots of AoE stuff. And
yeah, his W.
The CC chaining is big. Like, him being able to help you start fights should be important. It's ultimately going to come down to how much damage does he do. If he's just another, like, if he's not tanky enough to be a tank but doesn't do enough damage, he's just going to kind of fall aside, I have a feeling. And
yeah, I think his ult can be really cool. He, like, turns into this demon form and then, like, floats and steals health from champions around him, and then he has, like,
the
Vlad.
The animation is so cool now.
It's really cool, and then, like, there's a
weird-looking bird flopping around on your screen.
Well, and then he gets, like, a Vlad Q, and it's, or not Q, W, no, E, Vlad E. God, I played Vlad like 3
feels
times.
Like, it feels more like a walking Nunu ult that gets blocked by the closest target, right?
Yeah, and it does more damage based off of a stat soul fragments that he collects from his other abilities.
Or kills,
yep.
So, I think overall, I like the idea. I think there's a really interesting thing. They added specific voice lines for a team kill while ulting.
Yes.
And I feel like they really expect him to be like a super, like a rumble, like big team fighting machine.
Yeah. He either like turns a fight or he doesn't do anything.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that I don't know if that's just they added it because they add everything nowadays to these things, especially the reworks, or if they added it because they actually do think he's going to have big team fight potential.
Able to do that. Yep.
Yeah. His damage numbers are going to matter a lot.
A lot. And some of his early play on the champion page looks cool.
Still
looks kind
like
of strong.
Around as a big bird.
Yeah. Yeah. At the end of the day, I like his W. His W's range is awesome. He throws out that little eyeball, the Sauron eye, and then it explodes.
The lightning looks cool as fuck.
The whole thing looks awesome.
I think the problem is I look at it, I'm like, this guy's fucking badass, and then I'm going to play him and be like, all right, he doesn't really do much.
Yeah, it's like, all right, Edgelord, calm down.
Yeah.
His voice lines are awesome, too. Like, his voice actor did a phenomenal job. The new splashes are great. Overall, successful rework. It'll depend on his damage numbers, but he's a way better champion than he was in this patch. So
yeah,
go look at his page. It's on the league site featured and everything like that. So just go check him out. And then he won't be an 8.2. He'll probably be an 8.3 though. He went on the PBE today on the 23rd. So he'll go probably one patch cycle, and then as long as his numbers are fine, he's probably in. So you'll probably see him in 8.3, which means you'll see him in a couple of weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks after that in the LCS. So
yeah.
So that's all our talking points. We just have week 2 predictions left. So first game of week 2, we have Clutch versus CLG.
2-0 versus 0-2.
Yep.
This is where we talk about, is CLG ready to hit that panic button?
I think CLG has this one. I think CLG will come back. I think they'll prepare.
I agree. I think, like I said, I really feel that CLG became victim of best of ones based off of weird draft circumstances and draft plans. So I also think that Clutch did struggle to end some games. And CLG feels like one of those teams where they aren't going to give up easily, and they're not going to let you bleed them out like the Envy Clutch style. So I like CLG in this game also.
Okay. So CLG across the board. Next, we have TSM versus Optic. Listen, Power of Evil's on the other team.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What's Power of Evil's?
He's the Bjergsen killer, man. He POEs.
Oh, good thing Bjergsen's performing really well this year.
Right. I know. Who are you going with? Optic? Are you going with TSM?
I can't buy the fact that in the Optic games there were very, very clear problems, like Kadian on Rengar not being able to do anything, Lemination, enough said, and Arrow not being able to finish like carrying these fights that he's trying so hard.
Right.
Like, I really feel like all you need is just some support, just keep Arrow alive just a little bit longer. But he also had big mistakes as far as like, why is he clearing side waves when Baron's being pressured?
Right.
And why is he backing? And like, I don't. TSM starting 0-2 is crazy enough.
I don't think they'll start 0-3. But I think it's CSM. Optic very well could win this game, though.
This is very easily
could win this game. I think TSM on paper should win this game, especially if they prepare like they should, and they come out of a 0-2 week and they just pull their head out of their ass. But I smell
TSM a Haunts or Carry.
Yeah! Not on Gnar. Please put him on something that's not Gnar. I want like Illaoi. Give me Illaoi.
On Gnar so much.
I want Haunter on Illaoi. Come on. I mained Illaoi for a little bit.
Tentacle, whatever you got going on their way. Not happening.
C9 versus Echo Fox.
GP or something.
Yeah, I'm okay with GP too. And just give me a Klepto top.
C9
Echo Fox. Yeah.
So we've got 2-0 versus 2-0. So someone's taking their first L.
I gotta go C9. No. I think Echo Fox.
No, this is my point.
Nope, Echo Fox. Yeah.
Versus Licorice. With Sven as his jungler, Hooney just... it's gonna come down to... the big thing here is that I'm pretty sure Echo Fox is gonna have last pick in this.
Well,
pretty sure we're gonna get a nice fat counter pick on a rookie.
I don't think this game is the test for the top lane, though, right? I don't think this is Licorice's test. I think this is Dardock's test. I think this is the test where we see if Dardock can outperform Sven. And if he does, I think Echo Fox wins this game. I think if Sven can out-jungle Dardock heavily, C9 will take this game. And after what I've seen for the first 2 weeks... I have to put a little faith in Dardock, and I think Echo Fox could actually take this game.
So what I think is going to happen with this is, based off of the Fox and Clutch game, there was this moment where Hooney on Gnar, like a very good, solid pick for him, where he's blind picking it. They kind of like got stagnant for a little bit, and it got kind of scary for Echo Fox. And I do think that Sven is going to give an early lead to Dardock and Hooney, and I think Licorice is going to be on an island. But Licorice also got camped in that Clutch game, and he got dove multiple times in the first 10 minutes. And I think that overall C9 is going to pull it out, but I probably have too much faith in my power rankings, but I just don't think that Sneaky and Smoothie are going to be irrelevant like a lot of the other bot lanes were in the FlyQuest versus Fox game, and in the Clutch versus Fox game. So I think I'm gonna give it to C9, but if Hooty breaks first tower in 9 minutes again, this thing's fucking over.
Yep. Next game, 100 Thieves versus Liquid.
Tell me how you can even think about picking 100 Thieves over Liquid here.
Faith.
Jesus. You really have yeah, what? TSM. TSM's dead to you.
Yeah,
100 Thieves is your friend now.
I love 100 Thieves. I like the organization.
How do they win this game? Yes, what do they need to do to win this game?
Someday. Well, I mean, someday in Ryu. Yeah. Meteos, someday in Ryu, I think, is how 100 Thieves wins this game. Because I think Cody Sun and Aphromoo, I don't think they're going to get smashed bot lane, right? Like, I don't think they're going to win bot lane, but without jungler support, I don't think that Double Lift and Ole will like, just double kill them bot lane by themselves. So I think that if Meteos draws enough pressure with someday in Ryu, that 100 Thieves can win this game. And if they don't do it, then Liquid will wipe the floor with them.
I think
if it's a close game, they will be outshot called and they will lose.
Here's what happens. Okay. Meteos is going to track Smithy for the first 10 minutes of the game. And it's going to be a farm fest. And it's going to turn into the fact that Poebelter is playing out of his fucking mind. He goes into his post-game interview last week and says, I'm pretty fucking good, and I'm tired of being overrated by shit-ass Bjergsen and shit-ass C9 Bjergsen. I'm the best mid-laner in the
league. C9 Bjergsen. And
in this right now, Poebelter, even when Smithy is not playing well, Poebelter is getting his other lanes going.
Yep.
He started off both games. The first game, he started off the game with roaming top and getting the kills top. And then the next one, he turned bot into a 3-for-0 and a 4-for-0 in the bot lane. Poebelter is out of his fucking mind right now. They're going to make it to team fighting, and you're not going to beat Liquid in a team fight. And if Someday can't split push this game open, like he needs to be on something like that he can 1v9 in a side lane.
Yep.
Or this game's over.
That's what I'm saying. If it is close and they have to team fight, Liquid will win 100%.
I just see this as an easy. You ban Shen, you ban Braum, and you just team fight them. You walk around as a ball of five after 20 minutes, and Liquid just wins. They're gonna win the Baron dance. 100 Thieves has cool and smart Baron rushes, but Liquid has punished teams around Baron. Specifically Optic, like punished hard punish. And that's just like, that's the 20 minute mark where this game goes from a farm fest, really kind of even, other than a Poebelter roam and a Meteos gank, where this game turns into, all right, Team Liquid's got their hand, like the pedal to the floor, and it's over, like, at that point, I think. And I don't see how you beat Liquid in this scenario where you can't. Unless you're Hooney blowing up the game in the first 10 minutes and that shit's over, I just don't see how you beat Liquid past 20 minutes.
That's fair. Okay. We'll see.
They're so fucking good.
They're
good. And you hate Liquid, but...
I do. I hate Liquid.
You don't just walk... I mean, they had very clean... They had bad moments against Optic, but very, very good ones, too. Poebelter out of his mind, calling it now.
We'll see.
Game. Final game of the day.
Golden Guardians FlyQuest.
I almost said someone needs their first win, but FlyQuest already has it.
Hot take.
Sorry.
FlyQuest wins this game. I think FlyQuest wins this game.
Is Fly going to be back? Do we know yet? Is Fly going to play yet, or is it Keen again?
I don't know.
I'm riding the Golden Guardians train. I liked what they tried to do. They have the game plan that I talked about where they're going to try and get contracts ahead, right, and use high-end contracts to, instead of what a lot of teams are doing, which is opening games up from the side lanes to get objectives. I like the way that Golden Guardians is trying to play this through the middle of the map, like open up your map. And especially with the early aggressive invades against a rookie jungler, I think contracts is going to be on another level, and I like Golden Guardians.
Okay, day two. That's day one. Well, just to recap, we both think CLG will beat Clutch. We both think TSM will beat Optic. I think Echo Fox will beat C9. You think C9 will beat Echo Fox. I think 100 Thieves will beat Team Liquid. You think Team Liquid will win. And then I think FlyQuest will beat Golden State. And you think that the Golden Guardians will put Steph Curry on the team and win.
Steph greater than Giannis.
Anyway, okay, day two, Echo Fox versus TSM.
Let's see how faithful you are, Connor.
Fuck. Echo Fox.
Why?
Hooney and Dardock, I think, will win this game, and I think Phoenix will roam more than.
No,
I think
Echo Fox wins this game. Trying to take Hanser on a date last week.
I love Hanser. Hanser is probably one of my favorite players in the LCS. Hooney is a better top laner. I can't argue that. Nobody can argue that. And I think that Phoenix is enabling his other lanes more. And I think Echo Fox will win this game.
Here's where I'm conflicted, because I don't think that Fox can start this week 4-0, or like through week two. I just don't know how they can get through this C9 TSM.
Well, but you don't think they're going to. You think they're going to lose. Do you think they're going to lose to C9?
Well, here's the thing. This is where I do the overthinking stuff, which is what makes me good at what I do, which is talk. It didn't mean absolutely nothing.
But bad at predicting.
10 people. Yes.
Hey, we had 33 people listen to the last podcast.
Hey, if you're one of those 33, shout out to you. We love you.
Except the one random guy in Venezuela. I don't know who you are. Wow. I think he was random. I think he's a bot.
This one's tough. I just... TSM.
Hot take it. Just give me it. Hot take it. Go.
TSM's gonna win this game because they're gonna come out and the first 5 minutes are gonna be too good for Fox
You think they're gonna be too good?
Their first 5 minutes of their games and their drafts look fine.
That's fine, but if you can't, I don't know if TSM wins a team fight against Echo Fox.
So you think Bjergsen's gonna start a season 1-3?
I think Bjergsen's
getting flamed in between weeks.
Yeah. Because I think he's gonna pick Rise and lose this game. I think TSM loses this game.
They won't be on Rise because they're gonna ban.
I won't be surprised if TSM wins this game, but I don't have faith in their readiness to win anymore.
Who the fuck are you? How are you gonna watch this game and root against TSM?
Listen, I'm learning very quickly that where I differ with esports and with sports and like regular sports, traditional sports, I have more loyalty to players and how I feel like orgs are reacting and playing.
Yeah, fuck Hanser.
And well, no, I like Hanser as a player. Hanser is probably my favorite. He is gonna get dicked by Hooney. How does he not get dicked by Hooney? But I still like the guy. Like, I appreciate his work ethic. I appreciate what he does in North America. But Hooney's a better top laner. Like,
for the record, I believe in you, Hanser. You're gonna play safe. They're gonna put you on a big dumb tank, but it's okay.
Hanser, shout out to your Shen. I have your jersey.
You're gonna play great. I love you.
Okay, I think Echo Fox can win. I won't be surprised if TSM wins, but I think Echo Fox will take it. And you think
TSM's first 5 minutes are going to stuff. Mike Young also did a very good job of playing the map and keeping his lanes safe in these other games. But the problem was is that when he was trying to keep the lanes safe by making it a 3v3, it was typically a 4v3, and they were getting 3-0'd. So I don't know. I think shout out to Song. He's going to have them ready for this game. I don't think that Fox is going to roll them, and I think that Fox, for them to win games, needs to roll them.
Okay. I'm interested in your thoughts on this next one, 100 Thieves versus C9.
So, 100 Thieves and C9, I think that this is going to be 100 Thieves, but you're not going to agree with me.
I don't, actually. I think it's C9.
The biggest factor here, I think, is Meteos. I think the way that he's playing, the way he's going to be able to set up Someday into rookie Licorice. Licorice is going to have a rough fucking week. He's got Someday and Impact. Yeah. He's going to have a rough weekend.
I think he can hold his own against Someday.
I do too. But I think that, like, Impact, I don't but... like that CLG. Dive the Rookie, right? They got kills off of it. They got a lead off of Dive the Rookie. And these are two teams this week, like specifically C9. Reaper is going to, or not, like, I'm sorry, as far as like specifically 100 Thieves into C9, I just think that Someday and Meteos are too good at what they do to just let a rookie get by. When they know that's a clear point where they can get a lead.
Right.
Someday we'll have a lead in the split push game. We've already seen that his split push. They took two inhib towers with minions because of his Shen pressure. And there were so many times he walked to fights because he didn't even need to TP or ult in. He could just walk because he had so much pressure.
Yeah.
So I really like 100 Thieves in this matchup.
Okay. I would love to see 100 Thieves win. I'm all aboard the 100 Thieves train. I think the org is doing great. I really like their team.
And tell me why you don't believe in them again?
I just believe in Cloud9 more.
Oh, okay.
I think this will be a good game. I think this will be... on day two, I think this will be probably my most enjoyable game to watch.
There's a good chance that Reaper just outdrafts them here, too.
Which is possible. Very, very possible, right? And I think if they get super shit on in draft, like, again... C9 wins. It'll come down to there's a lot of different things, both metagame and draft play that'll play into this.
Yep.
Optic, FlyQuest, it's Optic. Especially with the way Optic played against Team Liquid, I don't know how you pick FlyQuest over Optic in this game.
Because Optic doesn't know how to finish a game.
Does FlyQuest know how to finish a game? What?
DSM, Connor.
Doesn't even count if they give you a fucking win. TSM looked like a silver fives team when team ranked was still a thing.
Yeah.
I don't think FlyQuest can close the game up.
I don't think Optic knows their win condition.
I don't know if Optic knows their win conditions either, but I think that...
FlyQuest is at least like, yeah, go get him, Turtle!
Yeah, but I don't think Turtle is gonna... No, I no.
You mean Turtle doesn't get to flash in on free elimination kills?
On free elimination kills, and then he's gonna be blown up by POE.
I'm eating the trash.
No, you can eat the trash. I'm picking FlyQuest. You can pick FlyQuest.
Win number two.
POE is gonna wipe the fucking floor with him.
Yeah, he wiped the floor with a lot of people this last weekend. Invisible.
Should have beat Team Liquid.
He was quiet.
Anyway, Golden State CLG.
I think this is where CLG comes back, has a 2-0 weekend.
Yep.
Get themselves back to a 2-2 start on the season, basically a fresh start, and they forget that the panic button's there and they stop looking at it.
100%.
That being said, with their games this weekend with Clutch and Golden Guardians, if they drop to 1-3, they're gonna still be sweating.
Yeah. I don't know if they... I think CLG very easily goes 2-0 this weekend.
Final game.
Yeah, the final game is TL versus Clutch, which Liquid has it. Impact versus Solo. Impact wins that matchup pretty heavily. I think Lyra can out-jungle Xsmithie, but I don't think Lyra can out-jungle Smithy enough to make up for the laning differences. I think the closest lane matchup probably here is... Well... I don't know. Apollo Hakuo is not a bad lane. I don't think they're going to get trashed, but I don't think there's any way that they win that lane unless Lyra just gives them this huge advantage. Yeah. I think Febiven Poe Belter is the closest matchup, and I think Poe Belter, the way he is playing currently, it's not close. Unless it's Lyra, right? Lyra is the big factor here, and I think you would agree with that. If Lyra can get this team sparked and going... they have the synergy. They have. I mean, we're looking at why can I not think of the team right now? Their old team? Who were they last season?
Clutch, Envy.
Envy. Thank you, Jesus.
Sorry, we can cut that
with Envy 2.0. They have enough of built up synergy previously from last season that if they get ahead, I think they can manage it, and I think they can pull out a win. I don't realistically see a way that Lyra can get them far enough ahead that they keep that advantage.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know. I'm so high on TL right now just because it feels like they have all the tools to, like, just there's no reason for them to lose any of these regular season games. And if your worst issue right now is that your jungler's inconsistent, the best way to make up for that is winning lanes.
Yep.
And they bought every lane matchup they could ever dream
hold
of.
Hold on. Are you thinking that Liquid's going to go undefeated this season?
If...
No, just yes or no. Give me a yes or no. Yes or no. Do you think Liquid will go undefeated this season?
Water's warm, not boiling hot.
Oh my god.
It's yes possible.
I don't think it's possible.
What's their worst matchup?
I think you grossly overestimate how good Double Lift is. He's good. He has shitty games. He has shitty games.
So, like, what's preventing carry Poe Belter right now? This is a new Poe Belter.
Poe Belter 100% is my favorite part of Liquid right now. Poe Belter is one of the strongest mid laners in North America right now, based off of week one. Hot take, right? We're playing best of ones. We can hot take. He's the best North American mid laner. He's not, but he could be. Right? He's up there. Because Bjergsen's playing like ass, and Jensen's not.
He's not native. He's EU.
I know. That's what I was saying. He's not native.
Yeah. The Impact's a fucking rock. Like you, Impact is never going to, like, throw a game.
No, I don't think I'm telling you, it will be Double Lift that loses them a game.
I don't think he'll lose them a game.
I 100% think they will lose.
He's going to be like, wow, my team's decent.
No, I think Liquid will not go undefeated. I don't think there is a world where Liquid goes undefeated this year.
I'm not, like, willing to put money on it. But, like,
no, I'm not either. I'm poor.
I look at all the other teams, and there's just, like, what is your matchup that you need to beat Liquid?
As far as, I mean, which team do I think will beat Liquid?
Yeah.
Well, I think...
Well, you picked it. 100 Thieves.
Yeah, 100 Thieves. Boom. There we go.
Are they the biggest test?
Are they the biggest test for Liquid? No. I don't think they are the biggest potential test for Liquid. I think the biggest potential test for Liquid this season is if TSM pulls their shit together and they decide to play. On paper, it's hard for me still not to say that, right? Like, if we see an 0-4 TSM, an 0-6 TSM, or a 1-5 TSM, like, maybe. I don't think that that's still the biggest test, but I think inevitably, if TSM gets their thing, their, like, all of their shit back together, that will be Liquid's biggest test. But I think that other teams have the capability to take games off of them. And I don't know necessarily if it's one team in particular, right? And what I feel from this league this season is that at the end of the day, anyone can pop a win, right? Like, I don't care if it's because one person had a bad game or you had the best game you've ever played. Like, whatever it is, I very much think that any of these teams can have a good game, bring it together, and beat their opponent. Now, I think it's going to be harder for FlyQuest to, like, have the best game of their lives and beat Liquid, but I wouldn't be surprised. I would be a little surprised if FlyQuest did it, but anyone else, I wouldn't be overly surprised.
All right, I've got one last thought.
That's good, because we're at an hour and 37 minutes.
All right, here's the wrap-up thought. We had a top six team, like top six, as TSM, TL, CLG, Cloud9, the 100 Thieves, and Clutch. We had Echo Fox out of that, who is very, very much looking strong. Mm-hmm. If they're in the playoffs, who's out?
If Echo Fox is in the playoffs?
Tell me why it's not TSM.
Why it's not TSM?
Yes. who's the last one out? And why is it not TSM? After week one, let's overreact right now.
After week one, it's TSM.
TSM's out of the playoffs.
I don't think by the end of the season it's TSM, though.
Connor, if I would have told you that on the prediction podcast, you would have shit yourself and hung up on me.
I think by the end of the season it's Clutch.
You think Clutch will drop out?
Yeah.
Lyra, Febivin can't do it?
No.
Apollo Hakuo, solid bot lane.
Fuck, I don't know if Echo Fox is in. I don't know. These last, like, two spots complete, in playoffs are just...
Yep. Complete overreaction is that TSM has to get their shit together.
And yeah, they're out.
Quick.
100%.
Because these other six teams, the only other top six team that's 0-2 is CLG, and we both kind of agreed that those felt like two fluke losses based off of a very unfortunate draft and a very weird off-meta pick plan that didn't work out.
Right. Which could happen again. I mean... I don't think it's something that CLG is, like, immune to. Like, I don't think that fluke is, like, the best term for it, right? Like, I think both of the losses were deserved, and both wins were deserved by the other teams. But, if TSM doesn't get their shit together, like, meanwhile, they won't make playoffs. Or they're going to be that last spot.
Yep, Mike Young is going to the media and saying, we didn't have a grasp on the meta. Famous last words. TSM's dead! They're dead!
They're not dead. They're dead! I don't think they're dead.
All right, that's all I got. Any final thoughts?
No, I that's it. So, in a perfect world, we will watch all the games on Sunday and get it up by Monday. Again,
depends on if Connor shows up this time.
Listen, I'll show up. That's fine. I don't have anything else to do.
Classic Connor.
Classic Connor. I work on my own time.
Connor, it's called Connor it's time.
Called Connor time. When we were recording this, Tom said, "Well, as long as you're here by 8:30, which means 6 o'clock Connor time, very accurate.
We'll be good to go.
We'll be fine. We didn't start recording until 8:45.
Check us out on iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes. We're on iTunes now. We got approved on iTunes. We're probably going to start posting on Podomatic because it's free.
We're going to run out of time.
Because we're going to run out of time on, well, we have already run out of time on SoundCloud. So, yeah. Otherwise, we'll post them on YouTube soon.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week. We love you all.
Goodbye.
Bye.